like they went door to door in like poor communities, and they're like, what? You got a needle? The fuck out of here, needle. You got a needle in the bag? She's got a needle? You gonna put it? Get out of here. Take a hike. And then like, I could just imagine it. I mean, I don't have, I don't have official knowledge of, I could just imagine like they pick up their cell phone and be like, you know, to their neighbors, be on the lookout. They got a needle and they're coming to your door. And then there's like a community buzz and people start to come out of the, come out of their houses and shit. Be like, get out of here, man. We don't want you. You know what I mean? People walking around. I'm a doctor. I'm here to inject you. It's like, nah, nah, nah. Leave the neighborhood. Oh. You don't belong here. You know?
Right. There was another simulation that was sponsored by the CDC. And that was, this one was a little bit interesting because it started around the same, it was due to start, and then the real H1N1 pandemic started. So it kind of had to be shelved and reworked. And that one was quite interesting because it had to do with a vaccine. And one that was not readily available. And if one was created, who would be the first to take it? Like, this was actually in a sea. It was like called Coral something. I'm trying to find it. Coral Cross in Hawaii. And yes, one of the questions to the player is, you know, would you take a vaccine that was just, and they had to convince the players, this is one that you're going to laugh at. They had to get the players to grasp the idea of the strangeness and seriousness of being able to catch a deadly disease from a doorknob. Okay. So now I'm laughing when I'm reading this. I am just cracking up. So now I look, I find some of the people that designed it and some of the players and found a lot of their Twitter handles. And you could go back and see old tweets. But then I wanted to see how they reacted over the last 2 years. Now, these are people that gamed out scenario pandemic. And I will tell you, they all bought in to the scheme-demic.
Of course they did. They've been gamified themselves.
They smoked their own dope.
Yeah. They're like, oh, I worked for these guys. They knew this was coming.
Yeah.
They knew we were in danger, and I played a role to help shape the policy. I'm not just a pot smoking Doritos eating weirdo. You're a fucking flunky. So you guys are flunkies.
I'm telling you, you can't make it up. When I read these things, I'm like, oh my goodness. But when you see like the buzzwords that have been used over the last 2 years.
Look at the dopes from Gamergate that are like our influencers. Yeah. They're fools. They're total dopes. And they're you know, they have big platforms now. It's like, why? Because you're talking to other idiots. Well, some have really branched out and done well for themselves on the grift. Real well. But at the end of the day, it's like, what do you have? You don't have anything. You're not leading. In other words, I see these people, you know, they work for different places, and some people, I don't know who they work for and how they get paid, but it doesn't really matter. I guess at the end of the day, are you helping people? Are you leading people somewhere, or are you just on the outrage bandwagon every time something goes wrong? The outrage bandwagon would be comparable to a float in a parade that the parade goes nowhere and it just stops in the middle of the street and everybody goes home when the parade's over.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go somewhere? You want to take this somewhere? This is your life. You should be serious about it. You really should. And stop following these idiots. They go nowhere. They just run parades. You know what I mean? That's all it is. One outrage parade after another. And when that parade's over, they go back to the beginning of their parade. And what happens with the people at a parade? If you're watching a parade, if you go to a parade, what happens? You turn around like, oh, okay, that's over. I'll go home. You're not any better for it. You've been entertained, perhaps, but You still have to go back to your fucking shitty life. Don't you want
something? The gamer community was tapped into a long time ago. There's a lot of gaming in politics, or people that worked in the gaming industry, and they recruited a lot of these, like you mentioned, Gamergate. A lot of people came out of Gamergate. Steve Bannon was very much into the gaming industry. You could go back and look into him with his relationship with Brock Pierce or World of Warcraft, and how they honed in on that gamer community. And a lot of them crossed over into being influencers of certain, of many different levels. You know, whether it was an alternative YouTube channel or journalist, or, you know, graduated to a top level influencer. But a lot of people, and you know, I'm guilty of this. I really did dismiss a lot of things I read over the years, because I'm not of that generation of the gaming, and I don't understand it all. And I really never got involved with the Chan boards, the 4chan and the 8chan and Reddit. You know, these are just places I just was not interested in. But that's where a lot of things came out of, where simulation. So you think of it on two levels: scenario playing, game playing, role playing, alternative reality. I mean, they are preparing people for the VR, you know, goggles and virtual reality. And these are all real things that are talked about constantly, like the virtual house. And, you know, as much as they can move into that world, and it's not going to be overnight, of course, and there are a lot of people resistant. Just like talk about the green agenda, right? You know, that's massive. They tied in climate to health, correct?
Yeah.
Somehow the pandemic wound up in health. But how many people know that Steve Bannon worked on the Biosphere 2 project a very long time ago?
Biosphere.
So he was very much into
he's
the
been
climate.
In the biosphere.
But he's been into the climate. Well, was before. I don't know what he talks about now. I don't know if he talks about the climate agenda being, again, how do I say this? We all want clean air. We all want clean water. We all want fish that are not contaminated with pharmaceutical products. You know, we all want that, but we know they've taken the agenda to another level, just like with the ESGs with corporations and, you know, a carbon footprint that the World Economic Forum and Alibaba spoke of, when there's a ton of apps already in the App Store for tracking your carbon footprint. And even we did a show on it a while ago about the credit cards. You know, they'll cut you off. Like if you're buying too many products that don't work out for what they feel you're supposed to be doing for your carbon footprint, then they'll shut your card down. This is already in practice. So what they were talking about, Alibaba, you know, and that's just their product, but other products are out there. So we know the green agenda is just that. It's an agenda. But there are people around today that were very much a part of climate issues a while ago. What made them change their philosophy? And did they change their philosophy?
It's hard to see who's playing what role at what time, and sometimes they rotate. It's like they're on like a lazy Susan. Well, this round you'll be this person, and you know you were for something, but now you're against it because it's not good anymore. And then later you can be back for it, because think about it. We saw this during the last 2 years with Scamdemic, with Fauci coming out and lying almost every day. Who can keep track? After a while, you're like, whatever, man. I don't know. I can't keep track. This is crazy. I would have to have a full-time job to keep track of all the lies and all the misstatements and the spin, the narrative, and flat-out lies. So who can keep track of it? It's nearly impossible. And they know this every day, right? It's, what is it, Clive and Pliven, whatever. They just load you up with shit, and you can't process it. You know, so it's like, whoa, it's too much, man. It's too much.
It is, and really, I'm I'm glad that I did read a lot of things in the past that I kind of just shelved because it's like, I'm not going to get into this because I don't want to have to learn this stuff. But yes, alternative reality games have a major role in simulation and, as they put it, scenario producing. And, you know, you could see the companies that hire this to, you know, role play things out. And
I don't know why I called it Clive Pliven. It's Cloward Piven, but that's okay.
Right.
I think Clive Piven. Right. Might have been a jazz singer.
You've got Clyde on your mind.
It's like Clive Piven, man. They're coming down on us. It's heavy. It's so heavy, I can't even remember the damn name of the strategy, but it is a strategy. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying it was just an angle that I didn't pay much attention to. And the more I'm finding, I'm like, wow, there's a lot of the same wording and scenarios. Because like when they did the one for the World Bank, the players had 10 scenarios to game out. And Superstruck was another one. They have 5. So like I said, these things are very well put together. They're produced very well. And then they have their results. And then the results are probably shared with the government.
It's one thing after another. You know, it's funny, the World Bank, you know, I remember Citigroup, I just kind of remember this. They have like this risk assessment, this money laundering, terrorist financing risk assessments, the things you do, and databases, and where they counter this anti-money laundering. And when I was at Citi, I was in charge of anti-money laundering for a bunch of places, a bunch of states, key states. And you have to run things through the World Bank. And then I'm thinking, well, you know, it's interesting. If you were at the World Bank and you could just label somebody a terrorist or not put in your database suspicious activity and protect, you know, it's so rigged from the top levels. You have no idea.
Right.
And I thought, you know, it'd be an interesting framework if you could do that. If you could control, you know, from the International Monetary Fund to the World Bank, if you could control who you designate as potential money launderers versus and terrorist financing versus like the Clinton Foundation, who you say, no, everything's on the up and up. We checked the World Bank databases. We checked, you know, all these things. We checked our anti-money laundering, you know, databases of the World Bank and it's clean. Oh, okay. So it must be clean. But it's like, wait a minute. The whole thing is rigged from the top down, you know?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, this Moore guy, he's had some strange transactions. It could be terrorist funding. Let's send a couple agents to his house to roust him up. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Oh, gotcha.
It's so crazy. So when you mention the World Bank, I just kind of chuckle knowing how we used to interact with them behind the scenes at Citi. And I mean, if you're in risk assessment, and you're an anti-money laundering and you're smart, you start to think, what if they rigged the whole game? What if every time I check with the World Bank on something and their databases and their alleged expertise, what if it's just a bunch of shit that they're giving us back to protect another protection racket? Does that make any sense?
It makes absolute sense.
Yeah, I always thought it was like strange. I was in the back of my head. I said, I don't know. These people seem kind of shaky. Let me run it through these people. Like, no, they're clean. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and you do have to be careful because if you're the good employee that always wants to do the right thing, and everybody else around you is like, oh my, you don't want to be scoring those brownie points and putting a target on your back. You're like, you have got to go. Stop uncovering these things.
Yeah, that's what I was told by, you know, the Wall Street folks at Citigroup.
Mm-hmm.
I told my boss, who the fuck is this guy? And please stop.
Right.
Please stop sending us this stuff. We don't need to be talking about these things via email and things like that. We don't need a paper trail on certain accounts. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So I can just go eat lunch. All right, now I know where I stand.
Right.
I won't work too hard here then. Thank you.
Yeah, and then you're learning how the game is played.
Right. It's a hell of a game.
Keep your head down. Yeah, don't try to score the brownie points by saying, hey, I figured this out, and look what I figured out. And they're like, yeah, you've got
my first week there. My first week at Citi, I uncovered a massive scheme.
Yep.
Massive scheme with one of the accounts that they opened. I said, these guys are fucking, this is bad. I was talking to the U.S. attorney in Miami and all this stuff, and the U.S. attorney says, they're not supposed to be able to open bank accounts without approval from the Justice Department. I'm like, oh, shit, I got something, you know. And then you're told, what the fuck are you doing? Like, well, this is what you hired me to do.
Yeah, that wasn't in the handbook they gave you.
This is what you hired me to do. Yeah, but you're not supposed to do it. It's in the job description. You're not actually supposed to actually do it. Settle the fuck down, pal. Take a week off.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ. It's only $100 million laundering operation a year. It's no big deal, you know. It's $100 million. That's what they said. This is like $100 million account. Get out of here, pal. You know how much money we make? That's what I was told. You know how much money we make off this account? Settle down.
Yeah, there you go.
Go away.
There you go.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
And that's the name of the game.
I'm gonna go get some tapioca I'm gonna get some tapioca in the commissary. I'll be there if you need to reach me. Maybe some rice pudding. I'm sorry.
This too is funny, Mike. No, exactly. That is the way it is. The way of the real world, you know, not the world that we envision, you know. And
okay, now I'm going to throw a question at you, since you have been just firing off one nugget, intel nugget after another. Let's go back to March 2020,
mm-hmm.
Call when all this shit started. In the last, since then, as he struggles with basic math, in the last sense then, how has your attitude changed about the world we live in, the society we live in overall? Because I never really ask you these questions. I just kind of assume one way or the other. I'm just curious how you have evolved, your thinking has evolved about, and I'm trying not to point you one way or another, but I'll just leave it at that, how your thinking has evolved about the world we live in and what we face.
Well, I mean, I think I've addressed this many times. I mean, the word that you laugh at the most is that it's all a Potemkin village. It's all fake. And we have to live our real in our own real lives, you know, with our friends, our family, our neighborhood. And that's it. I'm so far removed from the political aspect of anything. Definitely don't trust anybody. 2016 was the last time I put my trust in anything. Remained hopeful for 2 years. 2018 started to see things behind the scenes way too much. And as we approach 20 and here we are 2 years into the scheme-demic, I'm in survival mode, but I'm not bummed out. It's not like I'm in a fetal position. I'm more in a fight mode, determination mode to beat them at their game, so to speak, and just keep moving forward. But no, I have zero trust in medicine. I have zero trust in government. I'm, you know, domestic terrorist number one, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I think it's gotten to the point where you have to, just to basic survival mode to live.
Major sour that you really can't trust anything, because you can't be fooled again. You know, you can't say, all right, this one's going to be different, and this time it's going to be different, and, you know, this promise will be kept. No, it's just not. I mean, and you could say, oh, you know, people could say, well, how could you say that? You know, you've been lucky in Florida with DeSantis. And I've said before, I take nothing for granted. It can be wiped away very easily. As fast as things were pretty decent here, it could turn to horror very quickly. Nothing would shock me.
Right.
So it's daily, live day by day, and just try to stay out in front of everything. But very, very disillusioned, because it's not the world we grew up in. We grew up with hopes, dreams, plan your future, get married, have kids, have grandchildren, retire, blah, 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 blah. And you had this idea that the same would be there for your children. But we've talked about this. It's not. Our children are in that age bracket where their world is very uncertain. And the elderly, they are living longer. Their world is also uncertain, especially with health care and, Medicare and Social Security. And there's a lot of worry for them as well. So I think every age group at this point has uncertainty.
I'm trying to get my head.
Almost like,
yeah, go ahead.
It's almost like for myself and probably for you, is how it must have felt a long time ago when people were traveling west for the gold rush or trying to find their spot on the land in this country. And I've said we've gone backwards. I think people are in the same mind frame right now. They're trying to find their little plot of land somewhere in this country that they could escape from. But again, you still have many other people that don't understand what's happening. And if they understand it, they don't care. And they're still going to live in the cities, and they're still going to live in the world that's being built for them in the fourth industrial revolution. And they're going to live in that world just fine. But it's the folks that are aware that are trying to find their sanity, their
that's
peace
a good
of
point.
Paradise.
And you almost need to be like in Oklahoma sooner. People are like, what does this have to do with college football, right? Oklahoma Sooner. In Oklahoma, why they call the Oklahoma Sooners, right? Well, because when you mapped out land back in the day, they said, well, we're going to give out land, and there's going to be a starting line here on Saturday, and get your horses and get your carriages, and when you hear the gunshot, race off to the land, to the plot you want, and it can go on for miles, and grab that flag on that plot, and that's your plot, right?
Right.
And people are like, cool. And everybody's lined up at the starting line. This is going to be sweet. We're going to get some free land. And they take off, and they get down over the hill, through a valley, another hill. Everybody's looking for flags. And there's all these cats already camped out. Like, hey, what's going on, man? We got a pot on here. It's like, what the fuck happened? How come these guys weren't at the starting line? They were the Sooners, man. They went out a couple days before.
Yeah. Right.
Fuck
right.
You, man. We're getting our land now. What are you going to do about it? Keep moving on, pal. We've been here a couple days. You have to be a Sooner, right? You got to
right. There you
be
go.
Ahead of the pack. That's why they call Oklahoma
and
Sooners. That's
right. And I like that. I love that. And I do think so many people are doing that. And it felt really good to be out the farm yesterday and see just the people pull in and just coming in to get their regular vegetables like they would at the local supermarket. It's not like they were buying big bushels or anything like that. They were coming in and getting a little of this, a little of that. And I mean, the farmer guy, he was such a sweetheart. We're buying stuff and he's throwing stuff in. And we're, I mean,
that's what they do though. It's like, hey man, here you go, throw this in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Throwing a little broccoli Rob here, you know what I mean? He hasn't been working very hard. Bring him out.
The tomatoes were beautiful. He gave my husband some hot peppers that were really good. And what else? He just kept throwing stuff in the bag. And bags, I should say, because we did buy a lot. But we're going to go back out there Sunday. And we're going to get the eggs. And you know how they do the produce box? You could get so much produce for $10.
Yeah, whatever you could fit in the box type thing.
It was, well, he had it up on a board, what you get.
Right.
And I was like, my wife gets that stuff
too. We go out and we pick it up on Amish. Yeah. At least we used to. We
have a lot.
We're going out tomorrow. Actually, when people listen to this today, we'll be out in Amish land.
On Friday.
Yeah, on Friday. I want to talk to some people out there, see what's going down. And there's this cat is over in Bird in Hand. He's been being hassled. I might stop in on him and see if he's around. They're hassling him.
Oh, yeah.
And that's right down the road. Yeah, so I go to Bird in Hand a lot, pass through there on the way to different places. And so it's right down the road, and we're going that way anyhow. So I said to my wife, I want to drop in on this cat and see. She's like, are you going to have him on your show? I said, well, it would have to be. I have to talk to him there. I don't think you can schedule a call with the Amish guy to come on the podcast. I think that would be a little dicey. Like, podcast, what the hell are you talking?
What's that?
The guy'd have to hand crank the phone, you know, down at the general store type thing. I don't think it's going to work. So if I catch the cat, I'll just talk to him and I'll record him on my phone or something. But he might not be around. He might think right. I'm trying to set him up or something. So, you know, the Amish people are very slick, man. They
right.
You think they're stupid people or something, or they're hayseeds or they're hicks or whatever. They are certainly not. They are some real slick cats, and they have good instincts. So you have to be like, I explained this to my wife. I said, I have to be on top of my game, man, if I want to get this guy to talk, because he's up against the feds. So I have to really be on top of my game to get him to talk. If I can, you know, even locate the guy and get him to talk.
Right.
And I said, that's where you come in, because, you know, the feds don't show up with their wives. So you just,
that's true.
You know, that's a, we'll do a,
don't give him any ideas. They might start doing it.
Are you kidding me? That's not happening, man. No, it's like a, that's like, will never happen. That's
the ultimate surprise.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you get some of these female agents are pretty slick. I know a couple chicks who are FBI agents, and they're fucking, they're like the Black Widow, man. They could trick you into anything, you know?
Ah.
The women. And it's a damn shame, too, because if I ran the FBI, like the FBI doesn't understand that women probably are such an incredible asset. They treat the women like fucking garbage, man. Like they're strippers. You know what I mean? It's like it's 3 right. a.m. and you're at the club. It's like, give me another dance, honey. Here's $5. That's what the FBI treats their female agents like. They don't promote them. They don't really treat them. And I know one who was really high, worked her way in the FBI, but she was like a real hard ass, and she wasn't that attractive. But they have some fantastic agents who I think, and I think if you recruited women too, more women, you could be a better agency, because women are fucking ferocious, man. I mean, they're just like great investigators, and you know, they get on a trail and you can't get them off the trail. I mean, it all has to do with your personality traits too, right?
Well, but your personality traits and moms are the best investigators, right? Because they have the instinct, you know, that instinct is there. You think of things, men will think of things that women might not think of, and women think of things that men. It's complementary, I think, if you're working on a case together, to have, different opinions on things, to bounce off of each other, because, you know, what comes to one might not naturally come to the other.
Yeah, that's why I kind of laugh.